if all the the day that all the political prisoners are released, the day that our women, they are no longer killed or jailed for refusing to wear the veil, the day that we will see Narges Mohammadi or Tumay Salehi back in the street, the day that we will have a free press, then okay, let's talk about the reformists. Until now, they're just dogs of this regime.
Let me ask Reza Saya, final question. We just have 30 seconds, and that is, do you expect Iran's relations with the U.S. might change under Pezeshkian, and particularly the issue of nuclear weapons?
Well, that's the big question. How will things change? It's hard to say. The likelihood is that things are not going to change significantly, certainly immediately. Pezeshkian faces a conservative-dominated government. That's a challenge of entrenched power structures that call the shots in foreign policy, including the supreme leader. These power structures call the shots when it comes to Iran's foreign policy, the nuclear issue, its backing of regional militias. But I think certainly it's likely that the tone of the government is going to change.
And we're going to have to leave it there, Reza Saya. I want to thank you for being with us, independent journalist in Tehran, and Marjan Satrapi, French-Iranian filmmaker. This is Democracy Now!
COO, Portland, Oregon, bridging the gap between prisons, prisoners, and the community. This is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
Dr. Zom's Stereo Obscura. Offbeat sounds for talented listeners. Broadcasts every other Wednesday at 10 p.m.
There was heaven and there was earth.
Después de esa pieza, vamos a escuchar una comunicación simpática cruel con ánimo.
That's Dr. Zom's Stereo Obscura. Every other Wednesday from 10 to midnight, here on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO. In accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. The Executive Committee meets on the second Thursday of the month at 7 p.m. Meetings are held online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting can be found on our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify that a meeting is being held.
Hey yo, this is Clipping. You're listening to KBOO.
Good morning. You are listening to More Talk Radio on your community radio station, KBOO FM, 90.7 in Portland, 91.9 in Hood River, 104.3 in Philomath, and via the World Wide Web, it is KBOO.FM. I'm Cecil Prescott, and today is Monday, the 8th of July, 2024, and it is Monday morning, and thank you for tuning in and being a part of our radio program. Let me remind you of our phone numbers, 503-231-8187. Our phone numbers are 503-231-8187. And a lot has been going on. We have not been on the air. This program has not been on the air for a couple of weeks. So a lot has happened in the interim. In addition to weather in this part, experiencing unseasonably hot weather. We are also aware of how the impact of climate throughout the world and throughout the nations. Noting that Hurricane Beryl reached the U.S. shores recently. And that's noticeable because it was one of the earliest time in terms in which hurricane, I think it reached Category 5 in this journey, the earliest that earliest in the year that a hurricane had reached that level. By the time it reached Texas, it was no longer that high, but it's continue to cause damage. And another reason why we should ask ourselves, what are we doing and why are we doing it? Well, as I mentioned, a lot has been going on in the last couple of weeks, and also things to make people upset, people concerned, and people worry. And you know, before we begin crying about what's happened in our country, whether you are upset about the U.S. Supreme Court, or just call it the Trump Court now, or how the debate between the two principals candidates for president went, or concern about how we as a community move forward. Those are things to be concerned about. However, I want to hear, what are things that you do? How do you make room for optimism? Certainly there is so much that keeps us down, and we can be in despair. But is there room for optimism? Are there opportunities not to ignore the realities of the world we live in? But are there signs of new life? Are there signs of transformations? Are there, and for those of you who are careful, people who like to enjoy nature and gardening and growing and farming, are there signs of hope? Are there signs that give you encouragement that things can be transformed? I came across a post in the last couple of days, I believe yesterday, that said, "Hey America, be like France and England. Hey America, be like France and England." This last few days, both England and France had national elections. In England, I believe on Thursday, the Labour Party won the majority of seats. And if you were listening to Democracy Now! Before this program, you heard some commentary about the election in England and whether or not the Labour Party is leftist enough. It was a rejection, at least, of the Conservative Party in England, which had ruled for 14 years over some very prime ministers, and that their signature. A signature piece of the Conservative Tories government was Brexit and how England left the European Union and the consequences followed. The Tories lost, Labour won, and whether you think Labour is just a centred party now, I think it is significant. Probably as significant, or for certainly for me, something to consider is what happened in France, where the Le Pen party was set to win outright in the second round of parliamentary elections. And what we saw and witnessed between the first and second round was this, for me, I think this incredible coming together of this popular front of leftists and green parties, which stayed off the expected victory of the fascist right wing. And we're not quite sure what will happen. The New Popular Front does not have enough seats to rule outright, and so we'll have to wait and see. President Macron, you know, called the snap elections, perhaps hoping that something might happen, that the center might be able to stayed off the right wing. They were unsuccessful, and what you have right now is a, we're not quite sure what will happen, but what we do know, what I've observed, is the possibility that when people organize, they can make a difference. And it is certain that regardless, it is certainly the truth that regardless of what people expect, things can take a different turn. All of this is leading to possibly a discussion about the United States. Now, those of you who have been paying close attention to the U.S. presidential elections probably heard, watched, read commentaries on the debate of the two primary presidential candidates and the results of the performances of both of these men. And the Democratic Party, its officials are concerned about President Biden based on his performance at the debate. Now, so much of American politics is sort of like gotcha, and it's becomes like a sporting event. And so I would hope that serious voters would not put all their concerns on one 90-minute or two-hour debate in deciding the issues. Certainly the issues require in-depth analysis and reflection and reading, and that the performance on a debate stage does not may or may not, perhaps you can tell me, tell us something about the candidate. A point I want to make is that regardless of the performances, it says something about where we are as a nation. And can there be hope? Is there light, hope after November? In what direction should we do? I'm concerned, and I am interested in some of your thoughts. Are we in despair? Is there room for optimism? And concerning the United States electoral season coming up, how do you maintain hope And what are the signs of new life? I mentioned earlier the signs of new life that I noted came out of France in the second round of the parliamentary elections, and sort of like out of nowhere, and certainly I was prepared to say, okay, the Le Pen party is going to win, they're going to rule, and this slow and steady march of fascism that is taking over many, many countries will continue for a moment at least. In France, that was stalled. We'll see what happens. But what are your signs of hope? What are things that you look at for things of possibility? Lots of things can be signs of hope. This last week, last few days, holidays, when many people in the nation, and regardless of one's political affiliation, had the opportunity to gather with friends and families and community in times of gathering, in times of fun and activity. I notice in some of my activities the past week in walking through various parks and noticing how families and people gather for picnics and children playing, and it's as if the possibility of community building. What are those things that build community that are important for you? What are things that this season might give you for opportunity to build community, to offer you signs of hope? So what are the signs of hope? Is it a activity, or is it a sense that although things are in despair and we have much to grieve about, there is much to work for, to rejoice, and to receive the many signs of new life all around us? What are those signs? And one complaint, perhaps. I'm not sure whether or not this is a complaint, but it is certainly an observation. And certainly I would like to preface what I'm about to say by saying I don't want to sound like an old man, but what is it about these illegal fireworks? Every year we hear city officials, county officials, fire officials, public safety officials saying, animal safety people, please don't use your illegal fireworks. They're unsafe. They may cause fire. It's been very dry season. Plus, the impact on animals and fragile populations. Now, I don't want to sound like an old man, but, and I don't want to sound like someone who will who like to turn to next door and start complaining about everything I see. But are there ways in which we can build community, in ways in which we can care for one another? Not to have a me-first attitude, which is my thought on the attitude of many people in terms of, particularly in this idea of setting off fireworks. So like me first, I enjoy it, it's fun. I don't care about your animals or the impact it has on fragile populations. And it's only, you know, it's only a couple of days at most, you know, late at night, and get over it. Well, many people cannot get over it. So how do we take in and listen to the needs and concerns of one another and build community. I noticed the other night, people standing in the street watching, enjoying, you know, people setting off fireworks. And I thought, wow, you know, that's community building in a sense. But it's also a way in which communities are being disrupted or interrupted. And what does it say about community for all of us? There are, I suspect there are no easy, simple answers, because if there were easy, simple answers, they would have been shared and people might have acted. But that isn't the case. But it's symbolic, I believe, of the need to build community. So how do we build community, and what are ways in which you are building community? And also, I'm more curious about your thoughts on elections. What gives you hope? Are you in despair, or is there room for optimism? You're listening to More Talk Radio. I'm Cecil Prescott, and our numbers here are 503-231-8187. Are you concerned about the U.S. presidential elections? Are you more concerned since the debate? And is there room for optimism? I noted that I felt some encouragement by the elections in England and France that said to me there was a possibility that people could gather, could reason with one another, and before they took what might have seemed like the easy answer, said, pause. Do we really want to go down that road? And I wonder whether or not the United States is willing to pause or go down that road. I was speaking with someone earlier today, and they observe that, and I think I'm accurate in stating what they said, was that whether or not one is in favor of the former president, if you do not vote for the former president, if you vote for someone other than his main opponent, you're voting for him. So if you vote for a third party, or you don't vote, or you vote for all the other candidates on the ballot but do not vote for the presidential candidate as a protest, this person made the observation that you are in fact voting for the former president. Now, people can have noble principle reasons why they will not vote for the current president, and they might have noble reasons why they should vote for another candidate other than the two principal candidates. It's honorable, but I think one also must be aware of the existential threat or reality of what will happen when the former president is elected again. And you know, it is certainly a conversation in the popular culture, so that it's so interesting. There was a a cultural music show that was on last week, and the host reminded people over and over, which, you know, this is a music show. People are there to hear the stars and sway to the music, and the host repeatedly, you know, joking, you know, urge people to be aware, to be concerned about the election. And she said over and over again, you need to know about Project 2025. And all of a sudden, it was became a popular thing that people were searching for. People was reading about Project 2025, so that even in popular culture, youth culture, there was an awareness of something's happening, something is changing. And if you were unaware of that, certainly the reality of what has happened, as I mentioned earlier, in the U.S. Supreme Court as they closed their last season last week, and the Trump court became the Trump court. And the fact that it opened the possibility of presidential immunity is frightening to me. But, you know, why not? The day before the U.S. Recognized its independence from Great Britain, that the U.S. Supreme Court said, well, you might have kings after, we might have kings after all. Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. You're listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO-FM. I'm Cecil Prescott, and you're listening on 90.7 in Portland, 91.9 in Hood River, 104.3 in Philomath, and via the World Wide Web, it is KBOO.FM. And our numbers here are 503-231-8187, and that's the opportunity for you to call. I'm interested in hearing what you are thinking about the debate of last week, the presidential debate, whether or not you agree with the perspective that a vote for Trump or a vote for Biden, do you think it makes a difference or does it? And whether or not you are concerned about the direction of our nations, and more specifically, what is it that you think can give us ways in which we can use the energy and the concern we have to create something new and different? I mentioned how I was surprised by the results of the election in France, when so heard over, you know, for days before and weeks leading to the first round, and certainly after the first round, afterwards, just building up the sense of the right is going to take over in France, and you see this tide of fascism just sweeping over Europe, and not quite yet. Will it happen in the United States, and what is it that gives you hope? Let us know. 503-231-8187. And let's hear what Corey has this year this morning. Good morning, Corey.
Good morning, Cecil. Yeah, good morning. Yeah, you were talking about voting, and I'm a big fan of having conversations with people, because sometimes that I don't agree with politically. One of those people are, you know, my uncle and his son. And so my uncle, back in Texas, huge Trump supporter, but also a veteran who believes in veterans' rights, you know, but also reminded him this weekend about the house that he's living in, which were he's living in my grandparents, his parents' home in Texas. And my grandparents were staunch progressive Democrats, marched with MLK. They have a history. And I kind of reminded him of that, you know, this stuff that you're saying really goes against what your parents fought for so you could be here. And then we started to discuss Project 2025. And I, you know, he's a veteran. He, you know, he gets benefits. And I said, you know, if you look at that, even though Trump disavowed it, he admits Trump's a liar. Part of that project proposes that the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs cut costs by having fewer health conditions qualify veterans for disability benefits. Mm-hmm. And that proposal could greatly restrict disabled veterans such as himself for accessing benefits. He didn't know this. And so he's someone who will use the internet, and he was like, Corey, I had no idea. I'm like, yeah, this is what I'm talking about. You live in an echo chamber, and your nephew up in Seattle/Portland, your liberal avocado toast-eating nephew, you know, is giving you this information. Like, these are things he says about me until he needs to borrow some money. Anyway, and so now all of a sudden, you know, because they're going through a hurricane right now in Houston.
Right.
He texted me, said he's doing okay, and he said, "Thank you, nephew. I had no idea that this was a thing." Mm. And so, even though, like I said, I don't know how he's going to vote. It's still Texas, but it's just, I guess, that outreach. Mm. But it also, the sad part is that there is so much misinformation out there. And it's also like he could have literally been like, I'm not going to believe anything you say, nephew, but he did take the time to listen. Because the only reason we even spoke is he was talking about the debate. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, you're talking about Joe Biden, but you don't care about, because this is someone, my uncle, who claims to be he's a truth and honor veteran guy. Mm-hmm. I'm like, so you're mad about Joe Biden being old, but you don't care about the guy who lied at least 36 times. And I'm like, and the fact that he has that sort of cognitive dissonance where he could just sort of push that aside.
Yes.
And I think, you know, at his age, there's like sort of a coming around, you know, not, you know, he's in his 60s now, but the fact that he texted me in a hurricane is like, thank you, nephew, for sending this to me is great. I'm like, and also save your phone charge because you might need it in a couple hours. But, but no, those conversations do matter. And I think that, yeah, I still see hope in what's going on. I still, you know, you can imagine where my vote's going, but there's just so much misinformation out there, and people want to believe what they want to believe anyway.
Right.
So people will live in these echo chambers, you know, and not turn to both sides. But that's why I do that, because I don't want to be someone who, you know, I for the most part can't really understand a Trump supporter, but I can listen,
right,
and all I can do is, you know, give them facts and data, and if they reject it, they reject it. But if they don't, like in this case, that's good.
And it seems that in this case, you have had a relationship with him, pre-Trump. So you have a relationship with your uncle, so that you're able to have those conversations, and so that's, I think, a way in which we get beyond the echo chamber by having conversation with people we know and trust. So even if you enjoy your avocado toast,
exactly, and that's what I told him, like, to not belabor the point. I'm like, look, why would I, your nephew, lie to me? Like, you know, why would I lie to you about this? Like, I'm just, you're calling me, telling me this. Why would I lie to you? And he's like, yeah, you're right, nephew. You've never lied to me before, so. Those relationships matter, but it's good to kind of keep the door open for differences. But I'm still, you know, like I said, at least hopefully this got through. But the sad part is, too, next week it'll be something else.
Right.
You know, that's the thing. Like, there might be this brief moment of clarity today, but tomorrow, oh, but I saw that yada, 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 and there's kids in a basement type situation. So it's sad, but I do see hope for some people. But, yeah, it's all relationship-based as well. But thank you so much, Cecil. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you so much, Corey. And you be well. And you are listening to More Talk Radio on your community radio station, KBOO-FM. I'm Cecil Prescott. We just had a conversation with Corey, who shared about his his conversations with his uncle, who lives in Texas. Corey's is in the Pacific Northwest, and his uncle, loves and appreciates his nephew, even though he's this Northwest tofu, avocado, toast-eating progressive. But they had a sincere conversation about the presidential election and about Project 2025. And one thing I gained from what Corey shared is that it is possible to have meaningful conversation with people who you disagree with on important issues. And it is also important to have a foundation in which a conversation can take place, a foundation that's based on mutual respect and trust. That's something that is a way we can begin conversations with difficult topics. Let's hear what our next caller has to say. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Cecil. I have several thoughts that I wanted to share with you. I heard Rebecca Solnit, who's a writer for The Nation and other magazines, said that the media doesn't only report news, but drives the news.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's upset that the media isn't focusing on Project 2025, which is the most frightening design proposal that I've ever read, involving the firing of all civil servants and bringing Trump loyalists into the government. I also think that the three Supreme Court decisions are evidence of a far right capture of the judiciary, evidence of corruption. The immunity case gives a legal license to Trump to murder his political rivals, and I think that would include Nancy Pelosi and President Biden.
Hey, before you continue, could I ask you to turn down your radio
okay.
in the background? Yeah. And yes, when you call, turn down your radio so that we don't
have
the
background. Yeah, thank you. I'm very depressed about the anti-homeless decision.
Mm-hmm.
There were only 100 shelter beds in Grants Pass for right. the 600 homeless. This is a cruel and unusual punishment.
Yes.
The third decision radically changes our administrative regulatory system and gives power to the executive and really limits agencies. Now, what gives me hope is reading a website, systemicdisorder.wordpress.com, by Pete Dolak. Have you heard of him?
I have not.
Well, I really recommend it, and his article on May 29th was titled "Capitalism Cannot Overcome the Laws of Physics." I strongly recommend you reading it, and
mm-hmm.
Progressives, of course, need to be re-energized by the defeat of the Tories.
Yes.
We have to become political and historical in a culture that just magnifies consumerism and just pretends to be exceptional, pretends that the market is self-healing,
right,
and that our total failure in housing and taxation and bank stability are urgent concerns, you know? Mm-hmm. So we have to develop a counterculture, and I think a systemic disorder can really help us. Pete Dolak, another source of hope to me as a very frustrated German translator, is the website issue.com, ISSUU.com. Now, they turn anything into a flip book or a magazine.
Okay.
So I have already uploaded 1,985 publications. Many are 200 or 300 page books by Eric Frome or Barry Commoner.
Mm-hmm.
And essays about pathological liars.
Sure.
Excerpts from Mein Kampf. Do you know that Hitler pretended to be an anti-capitalist and would say anything to gain followers?
Mm.
He said Jews are Marxists and communists, right, and that it's God's will that I eliminate them all.
So let me...
Yes.
Let me ask, you began by talking about signs of hope. What would you say to the listeners in terms of how they might be inspired?
Well, I'm totally enthralled with the wonder of enlightenment. And to me, if you can go on issue.com, here you have access to 1,900 publications.
Okay. Okay.
That are usually forgotten, usually ignored, or maybe hard to access. So this should be the great joy. Our culture is dominated by science and technology, and now a far right corruption. And other points of view, other worldviews, are blocked, are never considered, like the prophetic tradition, like liberation theology, like Jürgen Moltmann, who celebrated his 98th birthday. Now, his first book was titled Theology of Hope. Hope can separate us from everything past and present. We can be people of the coming, people of the promise.
Right, right.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much, and thank you for raising up Jürgen Moltmann, who died about a month ago.
I didn't know that, but, to live 98 years,
mm-hmm, yes,
and to be such a great representative of the resisting church, or the confessing church, the
right,
Bonhoeffer. Well, heritage.
Yeah.
Well,
thank you for raising that point, and for talking about Jürgen Moltmann and referencing the Confessing Church, because that's something that I'm interested in, particularly in this time and age, in terms of how the church may be able to resist the growing fascism in our nation. And I think we can get some ideas from the German church what it failed to do,
yes,
leading to the rise of Hitler, and how the Confessing Church, not as prophetic as it might have been, but was certainly a way in which opposed Nazism.
Absolutely, and this was an underground church.
Right. Well, right. We have a couple of callers behind you, but I thank you so much. And I want to encourage people to go to that website, issu.com.
ISSUU.com.
Okay.
Yes.
And go to your local libraries and read. Hey,
yes,
thank you. Thank you,
yes,
so
thank
much.
You. Okay.
And you're listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station. I'm Cecil Prescott, and we will continue our conversation with our next caller. Okay, Lou, good morning. How are you?
I'm busy, of course, and productive, both. So
okay.
It sounded like you may have started out with a conversation about signs of hope and the importance of, what would you call it, civil dialogue with people that you disagree with politically.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I thought I would mention a couple things. As when I've talked to you before, Portland Grey Panthers has civic community election forums. And mm-hmm. Michelle DePass, who's on the school board in Portland, is also a candidate for Portland City Council, is going to talk at the next one at Portland State that we're doing. Election Forum, 6 p.m. PSU, Wednesday night, this Wednesday, July 10th. There's also...
Where?
At PSU, it's at Portland State Poblano, P-O-B... L-A-N-O. You're welcome to come if you're free, Cecil. Poblano Mexican Grill Cafe, 1927 Southwest 6th on Max. Okay. So it's in the middle of Portland State. I was also going to say that Shelley Romero is another speaker that's coming. She's really interesting, and we haven't heard her talk before. She's someone that supports Carmen Rubio for mayor, and she's also on the board of Latino Network. Usually we have several speakers, but it's important, we think, for people who disagree, and we've had some conservative speakers like Betsy Johnson talk at these in the past, mm-hmm. to politely ask questions and see where people are at. I was also going to mention your last caller mentioned in passing, among other things, the Grants Pass decision by the Supreme Court about housing and homelessness. Mm-hmm. And there's also, we've been focusing a ton at Portland State on local elections. We have thoughts, of course, about Biden and the whole current situation nationally. But on local stuff in Portland, the city council and mayor, Eli Arnold, E-L-I, is a police officer in Portland. He told us he was recruited by Renee Gonzalez. He's also running for city council, a different district than Michelle. But Eli just had an article, he sent me an email about it, in the Oregonian this weekend. And he really, really likes the Supreme Court decision 6-3, Trump's Supreme Court, outlawing basically housing and people being on the sidewalks in the Grant Pass decision. He says it's basically, finally, there's legal justification for penalties and punishment and incarceration if people don't move, basically. Mm-hmm. So you may have mentioned, too, for your current perspective, and you might have talked about this in previous programs, do you have a thought, and I know you tend to like want listeners to say what we think, about the Biden situation at the moment?
The Biden situation? What is the Biden situation?
Well, we just did a poll on our uh-huh. Facebook page for Panthers with three options. And okay. I'd say the majority of people feel, somewhat like cable listeners tend to say, perhaps rightly, that mainstream media says that because Joe Biden did badly in the last debate and that Trump won it, allegedly, Biden should, and apparently is being pressured, to drop out as the candidate and have Kamala Harris be the nominee against Trump, based on the theory that on mental and medical issues, and if Biden did happen to get elected, and we support Biden, we have a PAC, what about the 4 years? A second option in this poll that we did on Facebook was, should Biden withdraw and have Kamala Harris as vice president be the nominee? The Democratic convention's coming up shortly, which would be interesting because lots of us have pushed for a long time to finally, after 250 years, have a woman president. The third option was somewhat interesting as well, which was, shouldn't Biden be perhaps like, I guess Richard Nixon resigned as president? As opposed to LBJ in 68, who stopped campaigning to be president. Different reasons, different situation. But that third option was, should Joe Biden resign as president now, and then Kamala Harris would be the incumbent president and perhaps have more standing?
I'm wondering, sure. since you mentioned that, another presidential, previous presidential campaign came to my mind thinking about this, and I'm wondering, you know, with the president and the vice president, the last time I think that the vice president succeeded the president of their own party was right. George Bush, who succeeded Ronald Reagan in 1988, and I can't recall how the president Reagan campaign, or did he campaign for his vice president in that election? Now, certainly it's different than, you know, what we're saying now, but if the president decided not to run and the vice president is the candidate of their party, How do you recall how the president's in 1988, what the president did in terms of supporting his vice president?
Well, that's an interesting question, of course. Yeah, as I remember, Reagan did support Bush, because this was the Bush that was the CIA director before Reagan.
And
Reagan, at least now, retrospectively, by mainstream media, is considered to be this great communicator, and basically was a right-wing president. And I would say, it may not answer that direct question, but yeah, as far as I know, Reagan totally supported Bush running, and Bush got in for one term, but then he lost to Democrat, to Clinton.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you. Oh, let me ask you a couple of questions. One, in terms of people want to get in contact with Portland Gray Panthers, how might they do that?
Well, we have a new social media volunteer, Megan, who's great. So we're on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, and YouTube.
Okay.
We're multidimensional now. But there's also a phone number and email addresses and the Facebook page. Probably the best way is the Facebook page. People would just look Portland Gray Panthers, ask to be a member, then we let people in. And that's where we do the posting of who's talking at the conferences and at the meetings, as well as stuff that we're working on ongoing. We've worked a ton, as you may know, on housing, and especially the Walmart boycott to end gun violence.
Yeah.
So I'd say those social media avenues are helpful and useful, and Facebook's. Some people, of course, boycott Facebook, but that's been useful for us for organizing. Thanks for asking.
Okay. Well,
thank
you so much for your work. And you are listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO-FM. I'm Cecil Prescott, and if you would like to share, have some thoughts, give us a call, 503-231-8187. What gives you hope? And we had our last caller, Lou, with the Portland Gray Panthers, shared some of the things that that organization continues to do in terms of encouraging dialogue, especially among people of different political perspectives. They host regular meetings at Portland State University where candidates and people can engage in conversations and have the opportunity to hear and listen to one another. That's one opportunity, and that's a reminder of what we can do to make and create real positive change. Our number is 503-231-8187. We have a few minutes left. If you would like to give us a call before we end our program this morning. I hope you continue to be a member of this community. And if you're not, consider becoming a member of KBOO. In the meantime, while you're doing that, why not listen to our next caller, and let's hear what Gail has to say. Good morning, Gail.
Good morning, Cecil, and good morning, all you listeners. First of all, I would like to comment on not only this debate, but the previous debate between Biden and Trump. I think that regarding it being a requirement for students to learn how to have a resolution, like curtailing the sale of arms or improving elementary or secondary education, they have to implement that program throughout the debate based upon facts. So what I've seen the last 2 years reminds me of bullies on the playground. And I don't like that going through to all our children, to our elders, because it creates a hostile community. And then I'd like to also state regarding, where did you go? That last call really got my attention. Cecil, I want to just say regarding the debate, I don't think that's showing anything to any other country, but ignorance is not bliss. And I'd like to know why we're not discussing the issues when I'm going to be homeless. I lost my man in a fatal motorcycle accident on Highway 99 3 years ago, July 29th at 10:43 p.m. He was coming home.
Oh.
He was on a very heavy bike, and the guy pulled out in front of him. I'm sure it was an accident.
Oh, dear.
But the fact is, I've been unable, no matter how hard I work, I have a lot of child in Sarah Morgan. I'm surrounded by a criminal element that is angry, that is vulgar. And I'd like to see, defunding the police has its advantages when they were doing wrong things. But let's look at training, transparency, termination, and a database. I'm a Navy girl's daughter, 25 years serviceman. I've been to 48 countries. And I'll tell you something. I was living, let's say, from France. I would definitely be concerned. I have low oxygen. I'm in on medical hearings because I got a mouth and I want to speak my mind. See, so that's all the O2 I've got. You'll have to have a very nice day without me.
Yeah. Gail, I hope you're... I'm so sorry to hear about those tragic events, and I hope you're...
It's been more than that. I lost my aunt, my uncle, my two service cousins that were also in the military. And I just want to say, when Vietnam ended and began, it was a big thing. Didn't we just pass one of those anniversaries regarding Vietnam?
Yeah.
And isn't China or Putin or somebody meeting with that missile-pushing guy?
Right.
So, anyway, have a good day, Cecil. I'm glad I found your program today.
Okay, well, thank you, Gail, and please take care of yourself. Thank you. Have a good day. You've been listening to More Talk Radio. We have a couple of more minutes if you'd like to call. Thank you, Gail, for calling, and thank you for sharing. Thank you, Gail, and thank Mark, and thank Lou, and Corey, and all of those who took the time to call and share and build community. Today is the 2024 is the 60th anniversary of Freedom Summer, which was in 1964. Students, some of those who are probably listening here, from all over the nation, heard the call to go and participate in the civil rights struggles in the South in the summer of 1964. It was an adventure, but it was also dangerous. Leading up to the murder of James Cheney and Andrew Goodman and Michael Schwerner on June 21st, 1964. Tragedy of that at that event, but also in 1964 on July 2nd, Lyndon Johnson signed the Civil Rights Bill, which legally ended segregation in the United States. But it reminds us that the struggle continues in the midst of so much setbacks. And as our last caller, Gail, mentioned, and I think also Lou mentioned in terms of Supreme Court decisions, not only affecting those who are houseless, but also in terms of the power of those in power who have a lot of power, there's a lot of work that needs to be done. But I'm reminded by the words of Harriet Tubman, who said, "If you hear the dogs, keep going. If you see the torches in the woods, keep going. If they're shouting after you, keep going. Don't ever stop. If you want a taste of freedom, keep going." Harriet Tubman, the struggle for freedom is a continuing struggle. But if you want a taste of freedom, keep going. Those are the words of Harriet Tubman. I'm Cecil Prescott. It has been a joy and pleasure to be a part of your programming this morning. Stay tuned for more programming. We'll be off of the air for the next few weeks, but we'll return in 3 weeks.
This is Judy Berry from Earth First, and when I'm in Portland, I listen to non-commercial community radio, KBOO Portland. No compromise in defense of the truth.
Ear to the streets. Check out Ear to the Streets of Portland with hosts.